It's All Things Considered on KUT. I'm Emily Donahue. Sebastian Younger has written best-selling books, including The Perfect Storm. His documentary work has been nominated for an Oscar, but none of his works was as personally powerful as the film he'll introduce tonight at the LBJ Library. This film is about his friend, Tim Hetherington, a photojournalist who was killed in 2011 while covering Libya's civil war. Sebastian Younger, thank you so much for coming to KUT this afternoon.
My pleasure.
This film, beyond powerful. How did you come to make this?
Thank you. Well, I'm a journalist and now a filmmaker, and Tim worked in visual media, and when he got killed, it seemed like a really obvious thing to do, to try to memorialize his life, his work in film. I had a lot of questions about why he was killed in Misrata, what happened that day. He was hit by mortar fragments, and he bled out. And so I had the opportunity to interview journalists who were in the attack with him, who survived. They came to New York for his memorial service, and I interviewed them, and that was the start of this film.
This film combines personal memories. It combines excerpts of Tim Hetherington's work, interview clips with Tim Hetherington himself and you. Was it a difficult process for you because you were friends?
I mean, the death was incredibly difficult. I don't think the film made it more difficult. I don't think it made it easier either. You know, journalists are conditioned, war reporters are conditioned to writing about things, documenting things that are extremely upsetting. And there's a strange moment where you get quite excited about doing good work because good work is exciting, and you kind of forget that your good work is about something terrible. And there's a weird schism there. And I even noticed it with Tim. I get very excited about the film because I thought we were doing a good job. And then it would catch up with him. I'm like, oh my God, we're doing a good job on something that's terrible. And so I did struggle with that split, but that's a split that all journalists struggle with in all stories like this.
That actually came up as a topic in this film.
Well, it's a strange irony. I mean, I imagine emergency room doctors have the same problem, you know, like thank God they're there, but they're making a living and they're having a very intense psychological experience because other people are suffering. And thank God that they're there to treat them, but it's a strange irony. And likewise with journalists. I mean, we've all sat around wondering, you know, when's the war going to kick off? Like, why is it taking so long? Why is there a lull in the fighting? We're bored. We've all had that experience. You're wishing for something that's terrible, but you're wishing for it because it's intense and it's your job. And it's a very strange contradiction. And Tim was very aware of it. And when Sergeant Larry Rugel was killed in Afghanistan when we were shooting Restrepo, you know, Tim shot that, and he shot the reaction of Rugel's friends, who were just devastated. And later, he suffered huge consequences emotionally. He really had kind of a breakdown that came from the moral confusion of documenting the misfortune, the tragedy of others.
Your film makes the sort of case that Tim Hetherington wasn't your standard war photographer, and that kind of relationship with his subjects was what made him so very different.
That's absolutely right. Tim didn't even really consider himself a photographer. He wasn't that interested in photography. He thought it was a means to an end, and the end was to tell stories, human stories. And he said he would use any visual media. I think he practically would have used crayons to tell stories if he could have gotten away with it. What he was interested in is human connection between himself and his subjects and connection between his subjects. He out at Restrepo, you know, we were in a lot of combat. At one point, he said, you know, one of the least interesting things about combat is combat. But what's happening out here in the context of all this combat is in a very intense connection and bond between these soldiers. And that's what he was interested in. And I think the photos were almost an afterthought. I think when he engaged people and took their photograph, I think what he was really focused on was the dialogue, the connection that was happening between him and the subject. The photo was kind of an afterthought. That's the part of his work that we all see, but I don't think it's the part that interested him the most.
But one of the most powerful moments I thought of the film was when you showed his photos of the sleeping soldiers from Restrepo. And that was all about the photo.
Tim, at one point, during a very quiet week when there was no combat and everyone was bored out of their mind and half the outpost was asleep, Tim was sort of scuttling around taking photographs of the guys as they were sleeping. And I was like, Tim, man, what are you doing? There's nothing going on. And he said, don't you get it? Like, you never see photographs of soldiers like this. Like, you see them all geared up with their guns and they're all tough looking, but when they're asleep, they look like they're 10-year-old boys. And he was really interested in that vulnerability in these young men that you really never got to see. And that was Tim's brilliance. And yes, that was about the photos, but the photos were the way that we experienced that. What Tim saw just walking around, what Tim saw was that vulnerability, with or without his camera. That's what he saw. I saw lots of soldiers asleep, and I never saw it.
Wow. As you said, this film focuses a lot on relationships, his relationship with his subjects, their relationships to each other folks, how they related to him. But towards the end of the film, you sort of brought out his relationship to war itself and his effort at breaking that connection.
War has an enormous gravitational pull. And it exerts that pull particularly on young men, I think. And Tim was not only fascinated by that, like why are young men so drawn to war? Like, what is it? I mean, in this country, I think there's a conceit among conservatives that young men sign up to fight just because they're patriots. They want to serve their country. Not really very true. And there's a conceit among the left wing that it's all a massive manipulation and the young men get dragged into war and they don't want to have anything to do with it and it's miserable and they get away from it as fast as they can. Not true at all either. War is very, very compelling in a lot of interesting ways, and Tim was fascinated by that. So not only did he want to understand what draws young men to war, but he was also affected by that pull. And, you know, he went to Libya to do a portrait series of fighters, you know, in their gear, you know, safely away from front lines, just sort of posing in their gear, right? And sort of imitating other young men that they thought they should look like because now they're fighters for the first time in their life. And he got pulled in. He got pulled into a frontline situation that was incredibly dangerous and very dramatic and compelling, and it killed him.
What do you think you'll remember the most about his work?
I mean, really, my experience of Tim isn't so much his work as his personhood, you know? But they were very intertwined. You know, mainly, he really, truly cared about people. He really, it's such a cliche, but he really did. And I feel like he was very attuned to sort of, you know, what I've come to think of as the quiet dignity of the human struggle. He was very attuned to that. And he would talk to refugees. He would talk to soldiers. He would talk to politicians. He would talk to taxi drivers in New York City. He would talk to anybody about their experience in life, their experience in the world. And he respected all of it. And no matter how lofty the person was, he respected them, or how poor they were, he respected them. So what I remember of him, and it comes through in his photography, is this incredible interest and connection he had with the human race. I've never seen anything like it, and people responded to it. Children did, young women did, young men did, old people did. They understood that they were in the presence of someone who was exceptionally open and almost in a kind of spiritual level. And Tim was not religious, but almost in a kind of spiritual level, he was exceptionally open, and people kind of felt it and responded.
Sebastian Younger will screen his film Which Way is the Front Line from Here? The Life and Time of Tim Hetherington tonight at the LBJ Library. It debuts next Thursday on HBO. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
I'm Emily Donahue with KUT News.